WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. There's an HBO movie premiering Saturday called Doomsday Gun about Gerald Bull, the weapons manufacturer who was building the super gun for Saddam Hussein. Bull is played by Frank Langella. Langella was a star of New York theater in the 60s. He made his film debut as the good-looking con man in Mel Brooks's 12 Chairs. He became known as the most handsome Dracula in memory when he starred in the Broadway production and the 1979 film. More recently, he co-starred in Dave as the White House chief of staff. Langella has thought a lot about the demons that plague actors. It's the subject of a couple of pieces he's written for the New York Times. Years ago, when he was a young man starting out in the theater, he learned that even famous actors could be overcome by fear. He told me the story of the famous leading lady who had an anxiety attack in his car.
Oh, yes, it was a very well-known actress who... I was a very young actor, and we were on our way to rehearsal for the beginning of a new play. I had not yet achieved enormous success, and she was a great star, and I thought impervious to all of the emotions and feelings that I was having. And she vomited all over my car, and then said to me afterwards, wait till you're up there, you'll see what it's like. Wait till you know what the prices are, how much you have to maintain what you've achieved. Climbing up the ladder isn't quite as frightening as being on top of it and trying to stay there. And it was just one example of all the many different demons, I think, that face actors.
Were you shocked to see that? To see that somebody, we'll keep her anonymous, but to see somebody of this stature being that nervous about maintaining her stature?
Well, it wasn't the first time someone has vomited in my car, but it was the first time anybody had because of a first rehearsal. I had not to that point ever known nerves of that kind or fear of that kind, and it stayed with me for a very long time. I must say it didn't resonate until many, many years later when there were elements in my own career I was either trying to maintain or recover or move on to. It just reinforced later on to me the simple humanity of all of us, you know. And again, the particular kinds of fears and terrors that beset people in my profession, I do not think that they are any more or less than any other human on the planet. I don't aggrandize actors' fears as, oh, well, we have it more difficult. As a matter of fact, I'm always angry with actors who complain about how they're not making enough money or the rigors of fame. That's absurd. But there are particular terrors that beset an actor that are quite different than other professions.
Well, what are some of those particular terrors?
Well, very often people become actors because they're frightened of themselves or frightened of what they feel when they're young and small, and they can't express themselves in ways that other people can. They're usually loners. They're usually have a feeling of either being crippled or somehow deformed or in some way less than. So they use characters and situations in which they can pretend to get away from that. You know, they use their false selves. And then the problem is that they get a great deal of applause for that, and they get a great deal of acceptance from their false selves. And as they grow up, their true self inside is saying, please let me out. I'd like very much to be recognized for my own value. And the false self keeps saying, well, be quiet, because no one's going to like you. They like me. And that, to me, is crisis, emotional crisis, when the false self and the true self are battling for possession of the person. And since actors receive a great deal of adulation, fame, money, success, all those things from their false selves, they have a bit more of a problem than the average person who's dealing with that problem.
Well, I think it's a really interesting way of looking at it, and I think that that perspective helps explain that really combustible combination of ego and insecurity that seems to plague not only just actors, but a lot of people in the performing arts in general.
I agree.
So did you feel with yourself that you became an actor because you were frightened of your true self?
I don't know if frightened would be the word. Certainly dissatisfied, uncomfortable, unhappy with, not comfortable in my skin when I was a young boy. And And I had a talent for it, you know. I had abilities as well when I was very little. So it isn't, you know, you act...
But insecurity isn't enough.
Yeah. You act in spite of your neuroses, not because of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kinds of demons come to haunt you, like right before a performance? Does that happen to you anymore? Were there stages of your career when it did?
No, I don't have those kinds of demons. I love to perform. I love to be in front of audiences. That's never been one of mine. As a matter of fact, in the early days, that's where I went to avoid the other demons. You know, someone once said to me, "Where do you go when you're most afraid?" And I said, "Center stage."
Why would being on stage chase away other things you were afraid of?
Well,
get your mind off of it?
You know, when you're very young, flight and running away from reality saves you. And then as you get older, facing reality right in the eye saves you. It's a very interesting difference between how youth and how maturity face things. I think, I shouldn't generalize, I suppose, but I will. When you're a young person, particularly a young actor, and you are beset with a great many terrors and fears, you run away from them somehow. Some people drink, some people do drugs, some people do sex, whatever people do to escape themselves and their fears. And then when you get older, your legs just get tired. Metaphorically speaking, you just don't want to run anymore, I think. You want to just stand still and say, whatever life has to offer me, I want to look it square in the eye and face it. And there's a kind of, I think, a sort of great joy and peace that comes over you once that happens.
Are the insecurities that plague you worse during periods of unemployment? You said the safest place for you is center stage. But in that period between films or between plays, when maybe you're home during the day when everybody else is either out at the office or out shooting a movie or something, do you get really edgy?
No, not anymore. I don't. I really do believe that if you don't find a way to get it together as you get older, you know, you're just cheating yourself. If you don't realize that wherever you are is where it's at, then you've got to shake yourself up and face that. And so I feel that way now. I feel, I don't think there's something around the corner, you know, waiting to make life better for me. I think it's all up to me. It's all sitting here in this chair now. It's there in my mind, in my brain, and it's up to me to make the best of what life is giving me at the moment.
Frank Langella is my guest, and you can see him in a new movie on HBO called Doomsday Gun that premieres Saturday night. Why don't we take a short break, and then we'll continue the conversation, okay?
Sure.
This is Fresh Air. Back with actor Frank Langella, who stars in a new movie called Doomsday Gun, which is a story about arms designer Gerald Bull, and that premieres Saturday night on HBO. Did you ever worry about losing your youthful good looks and how that would affect your career or your public image?
Yes and no. I worried about it the way any man does as he's getting older. You know, you get grayer and you get heavier and you have to keep fighting all those things and you see time chasing you in the mirror. But I also tried very hard to look at that and laugh at myself a little bit. I think I probably went through a period in my early 40s where I was not liking the change. And then I came to a time when I really began to enjoy it and see how much more was available to me as an older man on all levels. And in fact, I'm enjoying this period of my life more than my 20s and 30s.
For whatever it's worth, I'm finding I'm enjoying this part of your career the most.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I just find you really interesting to watch. Do you know a lot of actors who've tried to, like, cover up their aging, have plastic surgery and things like that, out of fear that they won't get parts if they don't?
Yes, I do. And I also think, one of the most, as I say in the article you very nicely refer to, one of the most difficult things for an actor to do is to give up the thing for which he was initially loved. It's very hard for actors to, not as hard as a lot of other things in life, believe me, but for certain actors, I think it's very difficult to change. And in fact, to me, Change is a great gift, both in life and in work. The more you change, the more you evolve, the more you give up things that used to work for you or you thought were your major calling card, the more you discover about yourself, the more exciting it is, the more interesting roles will be, because directors will say, well, look, that man can play this, that, and the other. He can look this way or that way. But I've seen too many actors younger than me and my age who say, I think they do it unconsciously. Oh, this is my look. This is what people like me for. So they run around pulling it all up or trying to maintain it, when to me it's very exciting to watch an actor evolve and change and look different. And he interests me more. If I go see an actor who's still stuck in his look, I think, oh, he knows he looks good from that angle. He knows this works for him. And then I'm bored with him because I think he's trying to manipulate me.
Mm-hmm. I should ask you about your performance as Dracula on stage and on screen. The movie version was released in 79, but before that you'd played Dracula in the Edward Gorey production on Broadway. Was the Dracula story a story that you had been much absorbed with before doing the movie and show?
No, not at all. I wasn't a fan of the genre or even that familiar. I doubt I had read Bram Stoker's book. I sat down and read it when the offer came. And,
it's a great book, isn't it?
It's a great, great book. A great, great book. Never fully realized, in my opinion. Never. Mm-hmm. It's maybe impossible to do. It's just a great book.
After reading the book and, you know, I don't know if you watched other movie versions of it or not, what did you want to bring to the role that you thought would, you know, be different than what had been done before?
Well, I honestly didn't have a set of goals. I rarely do. I sit down and read a play or a film script and think, can I play this part? And then if I think I can, I set about the small steps towards hopefully realizing it one day. But I don't have a big goal like this will stand for. I didn't really know that Dracula was going to become so successful and such a hallmark in my work. I had no idea. I just thought it would be a fascinating thing to try, and I knew that I wanted to stay as far away from Lugosi as I could. Mm-hmm. So I, in the rehearsal process, I was floundering, as indeed I always am in rehearsal. I regard it as a kind of wonderful, vast wilderness, the rehearsal process. And I just kept thinking, don't do Lugosi, don't fall into any traps. So I just kept putting it off and letting it gestate inside me. And then he began to develop, and I began to have enormous regard and respect for him. And I still do. I feel very, very close to and fascinated by this man who has been maligned so often in films and in so many ways. He's a wonderful, wonderful character, brilliantly drawn by Bram Stoker.
I know you grew up in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is an industrial area right near Manhattan. And your father owned a steel drum reconditioning business. Do I have that right?
Yes, he did.
Did he want you to go into the business ever? And did you ever want to go into that or any other kind of business?
Yes, he wanted me to go into it very much. And no, I never wanted to. I wanted very much to be an actor from a very, very young age. And I have a brother, an older brother, who was very interested in my father's business. And lucky for me, he was, because some of my father's disappointment, I think, about my not going, and it was taken over by the fact that my brother was so willing to. And my father was immensely, you know, I promise myself that I will get through any interview I do without the use of the word supportive. And I was about to use it, and I caught myself. I'm so proud of myself.
That's a good rule to have. I applaud you.
Thank you. He was very generous and supported me, financially supported me for the first 3 or 4 years of my career, which was really, for me, extraordinarily wonderful, because I was able to really choose and hold out for things when I was a young man that I probably wouldn't have been able to do had my dad not been so generous.
When you were a boy, did you have other friends who were interested in theater or in acting?
No, I had nobody, and I didn't know anybody. I came to New York really without a single contact or friend or anybody. I just, in that suitcase off the bus thing, just got off the bus and got myself a little one room. It wasn't even an apartment. It was a room on 109th Street and Broadway. I remember it was $8.50 a week I paid to a landlady with a rabid dog. And I lived on 109th and Broadway for the first 6 or 7 months and, you know, did all the pounding pavement things.
Did you have a Jersey accent?
Oh, I had a very thick Jersey accent, yes. Very, very thick, and I just trained myself out of it.
How did you do that?
I listened to records. I listened to Gail Good records, and I remember listening a lot to Rex Harrison in My Fair Lady, which I eventually played just a few years ago. And I just listened and listened and listened and mimicked, and then probably in my early career, I was probably a little too grand and English-sounding, and then I tried to moderate that.
Well, it's really been a pleasure to talk with you, I think. Thank you a lot.
For me as well, Terry.
Frank Langella stars as weapons designer Gerald Bull in the new HBO movie Doomsday Gun. It premieres Saturday night. This is Fresh Air.